Now, back to your tech report.
We're back on your tech report. Very excited to always welcome my next guest. He is the founder and CEO of OWC, Otherworld Computing, Larry O'Connor. Thank you so much for being here. We had the pleasure of meeting for the first time in person at NAB. Is it still this year? It was this year. So much exciting stuff going on at the OWC booth with the acquisition of Jellyfish. You guys are becoming like the absolute leader, in my opinion, when it comes to storage, especially for creative types. And I'm guessing that was this by design? Is this something that's kind of evolved? This probably wasn't the plan from the start, right?
It's certainly something that's just evolved along the way, and it's directly the result of customer feedback. I mean, it's from day one. I mean, we've been a part of content creation with different, whether upgrades and solutions that enhance the workflow, make things go faster, give you places to store. But even going all the way back to the very beginning, we got into FireWire solutions. It was because customers were complaining about the solutions that we were selling from other brands. And it wasn't that they, that they were breaking or that they were, it was a quality issue. It was 1 week they get a drive and be great. They buy the same model a couple of weeks ago. This is for major brands that, one of which at least is still around today. And it came down to, we looked and said, wow, these guys, I mean, they're calling it the same, it's the same capacity, but 1 week it'll have a 1700 RPM drive in it. The next is 5400. Oh, there's an Oxford chipset. And then there's this Infineon chipset. They're not, it was flavor of the week of what was actually inside. And we came out and said, this is creating problems for our customers, which become our problems. And, we introduced our first FireWire solutions. And something that we kind of set a course with then, and we continue to this day, is we're going to list what's inside our boxes, the drives, the chipsets, and put real performance specs out, not just put the interface number out there, because the interface speed means nothing if what's inside isn't going to support your workflow.
There are a lot of companies, when you go up to at a trade show or just really in general, you go up to a booth, you'll never be able to sit and have a conversation with someone who's passionate and someone who founded the company and someone who's so still integral and really hands-on day to day. And I gotta applaud you for that, Larry, because the passion that comes out of you is just it's so obvious. And you talk about answering and listening to consumers, that it's such a lost art these days. And I think that if anybody looks at other companies that are out there, you're never going to get a hold of the CEO, the founder of a company, let alone have a conversation with them or hear them explain every minutia of whatever product that might be coming out and really know about it from start to finish. And is this something that is it just keep driving you? Is that what drives you? I'm curious what drives Larry O'Connor.
We have a great team here. I say we. We'll have always said we with OWC, but we love technology. We love what technology can do for folks. And honestly, this stuff is common sense. I'll have a customer, actually, a great customer. It's actually a partner company as well that's in the audio space, and he asked us a question on one of our one of our display adapters. It's a product for the M1 and M2s, the units that don't support two displays out of the box, and said, does this really work? And I said, what do you mean? Well, we bought XYZ and plug it in, and half the time, the other display doesn't light. And it's like, huh, that's really odd. And I said, no, ours works. He sent a LinkedIn, said, yeah, perfect, fantastic, plug and play and go. And I said, that's just how it's supposed to be. And it, we're our own customers. A lot of these solutions, we've got videographers, we have, folks that play music, record music, who work for the company. This is what we live, breathe, eat. And we certainly, what's good for us is good for our customer. And what's good for our customer is good for us. We just want to put the best product out there. And that's certainly what gets me and I believe the majority of our team up every day. Yeah. It's, work for a cause is actually, this is one of my team members, said this recently, and it's so true. Work for a cause, not for applause. And literally, we want to be the boring part. You're doing all the creative work. You've got the ideas. You're out there, dealing with whatever the conditions are, the people, the circumstances, et cetera, to capture, produce, create, edit, and bring something to life. Or just get through your day. If you're at home, just want to know your files are backed up safely. That the kids' photos are always going to, be accessible and okay. And we want to be that technology that you plug in and it works for you. And we absolutely, I mean, we're always evolving. I mean, SoftRate is something that's going to go through a lot of evolution because it's one of those things is, you know, software has gotten a lot more complicated over the last few years.
Yeah.
Things have gotten just, I mean, it's crazy with security and other changes and just the amount of work that goes into that it's really behind the scenes. You know, I think the one thing that we also always have to remember to do is communicate. And again, it's always an evolution. We appreciate, you know, we will never claim to be perfect, but we appreciate, you know, people's patience as we strive for perfection. And absolutely, we're in, you know, not just in intention, but in actions. I mean, we absolutely are there for our customers. And like I said before, we love what we do.
Yeah. And you know what, the you know, you mentioned something about reliability, and just in that story about that dock, you know, people want to be able to buy something and know they open the box and it just works. And unfortunately, I think that there are so many situations where that doesn't happen anymore, and that is almost becoming the norm. And as you said, that just doesn't make sense. You're putting out a product. You want to make sure when that product arrives, like it's working from start to finish. Why would you want to think otherwise? And this is something that you spoke very passionate about at NAB about the Atlas memory cards. And, you know, I remember watching you talking to somebody else. I wasn't even asking about it. And you were talking about just the software and just everything that goes along with these memory cards and making them reliable. Can you reiterate that story and tell me about what you guys do differently when it comes to memory cards that makes them award-winning at this point?
Sure. And I'll actually say today, first off, whenever somebody brings me a third-party product, you know, issue with somebody else's product, my default is to troubleshoot it to say, this is not that complicated. I mean, why doesn't this work?
Yeah.
I don't want to, because honestly, I don't want to ship, you know, want anybody to get another solution, another product that, you know, doesn't solve the problem. But, you know, 9 out of 10 times, it's not an issue on their end or use it. It's just something wrong with the product. It's disappointing. I mean, that being said, the biggest disappointment, you ship out our product first, then you wouldn't have had that. But you know, when it comes to the memory cards, you know, the majority out there, and even some of the bigger guys, you know, they put a spec on their card and they look at different specs for the cameras, this, that. They may do, you know, some factory. Of course, they all do factory testing. I don't know anybody who doesn't do factory testing. But they're not testing in the cameras. They're not actually making sure the real world performs, you know, with their product. And, you know, the first thing, we've got over a decade, I mean, at this point, about 15 years experience, you know, working with NAND and effectively SSDs. And every memory card today is like a mini SSD. You know, yeah. There's a lot that goes into that. And I'll tell you, we've definitely, cut our teeth, you know, getting into the whole SSD space, you know, from the dawn of this technology and this technology coming into mass use. So a lot of experience there, which goes into our memory cards, but more than just experience with building effectively a storage unit of that type, it's also understanding that you got to test this in the cameras. You've got to make sure that in the real world with all the different modes, with all the different capabilities that these cameras have, that it actually works, you know, in the cameras. And, you know, a couple of our new ambassadors have come aboard because they've got cars that are supposed to work and two problems. I mean, this is recent. Again, I hear this stuff and it goes against the guy. It's just so against common sense. First thing was, you know, a car that supposedly should have worked didn't work at some 4K 120 mode. And I'll be honest with you, I am not a camera expert. By any means, we've got folks, we bring these cameras in, we have these cameras on site, they're working with, I mean, every time we bring a card out, every time there's new firmware, they're putting these through, major test. I think we even have some videos where they show, you know, the kind of testing, the kind of, real world, engagement that these cards get before we go and release. We do not release something without having tested it. I mean, we do not risk our customers' data. But at this point, their images, their video, I mean, things that they may not be able to, well, you can't recreate a moment, period. I mean, you can do it again, but it's never going to be the same. But where was I even going with this? You know, getting back to, the testing, from a spec point, specs are part of the story. You know, interaction with the camera and its firmware is another piece. And we do that real-world testing and a real-world release to ensure that everything actually does work. And in this particular example with the ambassador, you know, it did work. Call the company up and talk to them. You know, he's at this point, you know, working with them, and they're like, "Well, we'll get back to you." And they never got back. They just kind of ignored it.
Really?
Kind of like, "Well, you know, maybe that just doesn't work in that camera." Our card, by the way, works perfectly in that camera because we
tested in that camera.
And that's the other cool thing, you know, these, and I almost think it's, you know, it's, you know, a big part of the organization has been, you know, from day one is maximizing, you know, the use of all of our resources. You know, they call that sustainability today. And, you know, ultimately, you know, we look at all resources. I mean, resources are finite. I mean, what we, some resources are finite, there's plenty that are infinite, but ultimately, you know, we have a budget that is finite. You know, we use resources that, you know, can be recycled, but there's still energy that goes into using those resources. And we want things to last. You know, we want your technology to last. And we want the cards that we put out to last. And the other big thing that, you know, we brought into these cards, all of our cards, is field firmware updates. So you're able to, if a new camera comes out, or the camera you already have has some sort of firmware update that changes its interaction with a memory card, where that memory card, you know, in the past would need to be replaced because nobody really does this update stuff. Our cards allow you to update. You know, the other thing that became really frustrating as we got into the space, and I'll be honest, I mean, even as, you know, I go back a year, I didn't fully understand this. We have people, Farshid in particular, who's on our team, he has championed these memory cards and this memory card technology. I mean, he came out of lecture a bit before coming to OWC and saw just how differently, you know, things could do. And in fairness to the past, you know, it really wasn't until the last few years that the recording rates got so high on, you know, typical cameras that you really started putting these cards through the paces. But the result of that, with the way cards are supported, is that you end up with cards that really aren't, they still have a good lifespan, but they need to be clean. And there's not an easy way, when I say clean, they get dirty. Their cache gets fragmented. You know, there's no trim interface on cameras or via USB when you're reading and writing to the cards. And there is not an efficient way to reset the cards, bring the cards back to full performance. And that was in addition to enabling the longevity through a field firmware update. So you don't have a firmware situation that obsoletes the card. We also ensure that those cards are at their full peak performance for the full life, the full useful life of the card, with our sanitize feature. Sanitize is, you know, basically 2 or 3 seconds, and it brings the card, number one, it securely eliminates all data on the card. So when you do a sanitize, nobody can, especially if it's a rental or you're sharing cards with, you know, different project managers, you don't want media to be exchanged or accidentally ingested into the wrong place. Sanitize completely wipes the data off the card. But more important, for just knowing that card's going to absolutely give you full capture capability, doesn't matter how old the card is, a sanitized returns it to its original full factory performance. And I know a lot of cars today get put up on the shelf because they start to get flaky in a camera, not because they're at the end of their life, but because they're literally, and I don't know that there's another technical term for it. I mean, they're fragmented, but you know, the term this typically is that the cars have gotten dirty, but it's easy to clean a card with these tools. So we're really about making sure that these cards last, and not just last, I mean, make sure that you have the confidence, you can see their health, you can sanitize a card, you know the firmware's up to date, and as a result of that, you have that peace of mind knowing when you put that card into the camera, it's not going to give you any issue on that shoot. It's not, you know, kind of a Russian roulette where one day all of a sudden you put it in and in the middle of a shoot it starts to give you trouble, or you're doing time lapse or doing rapid, you know, or high-speed photography, and it's not giving you the frame rate that you need for whatever you were trying to capture. You know, these are things that, again, and from this is customer feedback, and then it's really just market understanding.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want you to buy more of our cards. We want you to buy lots of our cards. We want you to use our cards. Let me rephrase that. But we don't want you to replace your cards early. I mean, I think today a lot of cards, again, people feel they've used them for X period of time or X number of shoots. They're starting to slow down or, you know, do some flaky things. It must be time to replace the card. You know, we want to see you get we certainly want you to buy cars from us for your different projects, but not because, you know, you're retiring your car before it's time.
Should a card slow down?
Today, with the way cameras come into it, depends on the card. But ultimately, at some point, if you don't do the equivalent of a sanitizing a card, yeah, they will slow down. You know, it all depends upon the load you're putting on the card and how fast you're writing data. The faster you're putting data into a card and the more often you're running data into a card at high speed, the more that card has to work, and the quicker the card's cache will become fragmented, or, you know, the other term is, you know, the card will get dirty.
Yeah.
So it's not overnight by any means typically, but no, a load will, especially with today's cameras and some of the data rates that, you know, go through them. And that's what sanitize is for, because you can then, you know, energize gives you, you know, the sanitize feature, but it'll show, hey, you know, the card is healthy. After you do an ingest, you know, whether it's once a week, once a month, just sanitize. It doesn't take, you know, unlike trying to do a low level format, which takes hours and burns through write cycles, a sanitize takes a couple seconds, does a full factory refresh, and doesn't waste any write cycles. So fast, efficient, easy. And every time you do it, again, whether the card's a day old or a year old, or 5 years old for that matter, long as the card is healthy and is still in a good health status, it's as fast as it was the very first time you used it. And that's how it should be. But that's not, you know, what people experience today.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but they can use your sanitized tool on non-OWC cards as well, right?
I wish they could. And, you know, we are working on, you know, a couple partnerships where we have no problem opening it up. But this is the other thing that I find kind of, you know, just shocking. There's not the support in these various cars, typically the support of sanitize.
Really?
That command is not in there. This is at a software firmware level, the firmware, field firmware update and sanitize. And even to some degree, the ability to do a full health check on the card are capabilities, you know, we have to, we provide in firmware to enable and support. Even on the reader side, you know, standard on reader chipsets, you know, these commands aren't supported. Now, we were able to support our energized features on all of our OWC, but we just began producing cards, you know, about a year and a half ago, I think it's about a year and a half ago now. Maybe it's already 2 years. Time flies.
It does.
COVID created a time warp, but, you know, our readers, which go back, you know, which we've had in our docks, we've had readers in our docks going back to our first Thunderbolt 2 dock, but our Thunderbolt 3 and later docks, so about 2017 and later, you know, the readers in those docks actually are supported and upgradable with firmware we provide to support the Energize software. So it is an ecosystem, you know, to use everything. Our cards alone, you know, they absolutely stand exceptionally well on their own. I mean, they will stand up any card from a quality, you know, point of view, quality, longevity, performance point of view, you know, independently. But you bring the Energize ecosystem together where you can maintain those cards, keep them updated, you know, sanitize, and it's you know, they're a world above.
Talk to me about the announcement that you just made a couple of days ago on the 12th of October.
Sure, yeah, it's pretty exciting to bring the speed of cards up. You know, now we're going from Gen 2 and Gen 3 speed cards all the way up to Gen 4. And while that doesn't mean a lot for today's cameras, it's future compatibility with the cameras that are coming out for all practical purposes tomorrow and next year, where you'll be able to take advantage of those higher write speeds. And in the meantime, with any camera that's taking advantage of our CF Express products, you know, while the camera doesn't need that newly found speed, you're still going to get max performance from these cards in those cameras. When you go to ingest off the cards, you now will get a higher download and ingest speed. So it's pretty good stuff, to say the least. You know, the cost is still extremely competitive, but now you're getting a card that's not just great for today, but is future ready for tomorrow, and will save you time when you're downloading, let's say, your captures to your computer as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We're in conversation with OWC's Larry O'Connor. Of course, you can check out maxsales.com, OWC.com as well. We're going to take a quick break. It is your Tech Report. Mitchell Whitfield and Marka Flalo with you. When we come back, more with Larry O'Connor, the CEO and founder of OWC.
Your Tech Report will be right back. Now, back to your Tech Report.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, we're in conversation with Larry O'Connor, the CEO and founder of OWC, Other World Computing, otherwise available at maxsales.com. We were talking about storage and, of course, the use of these new Atlas memory cards. I think the trend these days seems to be film in the highest quality that you possibly can, whether you're going to use it or not. You know, and I think that's a good mentality because it does future-proof what you're doing. But as you said, it brings up the needs for obviously faster write speeds and definitely faster ingest. are we going to come to a point, do you think, where the cards, I mean, right now the cards are ahead of obviously the cameras, right? And then we're going to jump ship. We're going to have this leapfrog effect. Do you think they're ever going to be at a parity point, or we're just going to constantly evolve both sides?
I think you're going to see both sides evolving, but typically the cameras, you know, limit themselves, or by design, I mean, they're looking at the technology available in the cards.
Yeah.
And with these cards now effectively doubling performance, I mean, you know, on both right, I mean, the right, you still have upper limits, mainly, but there's still, I mean, flash today, I mean, you get the burst and then it drops. Actually, the cards we're putting out are constant performance at 1600 megs a second plus from end to end, which is absolutely fantastic and faster than pretty much any application a camera requires. The bigger savings with these Gen 4 as we go forward is going to be on, it's certainly on the ingest, where now literally in half the time it would take today, you'll be able to download a card. I mean, you'll be pulling data off these cards at close to 4,000 megs a second, because read is never throttled.
I mean, at this point, they're almost, I mean, they're equivalent to some of the most of the SSDs on the market. I mean, this is, you're not going to need hard drives anymore. You're just going to carry, you know, CF Express cards.
They're a little more expensive than SSDs, because I mean, they're a pretty compact package, yeah, but they are literally SSDs for upper. I mean, they use for upper purposes, it's a variant. It's a little bit different in terms of the firmware configuration, but this is the same controller, you know, that's in an M.2 SSD that's going into that compact flash.
Crazy. I remember the first digital camera I ever bought was a Nikon D100. It had a compact flash card that still had moving parts in it. You know, it still had moving parts in it. I think it was 16 gigs, maybe less, maybe even 4 gigs or 8 gigs at the time. I still have that camera somewhere. I don't have the card anymore, so I couldn't even use it. But the it's insane how far we've come. It really is insane how far we've come. And this is just scratching the surface, I feel. You know, especially when you look at all the products that you guys put out and the vast array of the consumers that you're trying to hit. I mean, where do you see this in 4 or 5 years from now? I know it's hard to even, you know, even think about it, but.
You know, we're here for that whole capture to completion ecosystem. And you know, 4 or 5 years from now, you know, I don't think we're ever, unless cameras stop, I mean, everybody wants to go higher resolution. The higher resolution you can capture and ingest, I mean, the more flexibility you have with what you use that output for. I mean, it's pretty insane. I mean, what you can do, I mean, you're never, if you're capturing at 8K, that's great for producing at 4K. You know, if you're capturing at 12K, I mean, suddenly 8K becomes, you know, really easy to make look fantastic. And there's not a lot of good 8K content out there. So honestly, I mean, as we go 4 or 5 years, I mean, eventually you see if you go wireless. I mean, we're certainly doing, you know, we're seeing a lot more. We support it with our electrons and our FX drives going direct camera to an external drive. I don't know the cards ever get replaced, just on the simple basis that, you know, there's field situation where it just doesn't make sense. Wireless is something that I personally, I see wireless kind of like the cloud. It's nice.
It's a nice feature. It's a nice feature to speed up post-production. But at the end of the day, you still need those source files. And camera to cloud is only going to get you so far and save you so much time. You still need those files off that card. Or you need a lot of bandwidth to get those files up to the cloud.
Right.
To be usable.
You want something that's foolproof.
Yeah.
And foolproof is, you know, how do I say, physical media that's operating at the speeds that you need, that isn't going to fail because there's an interference or there's some other, something else that's environmental that, well, simply wouldn't affect a closed system that's secure.
Yeah, it's insane. Larry, I mean, we could talk for hours. We always could. I got to ask you one question before I let you go, which is, you know, kind of big picture. You've been doing this for a long time. Let's not date each other here. Apple constantly putting out these new processors, and now we see ARM trying to catch up. Are you still blown away when you see some of these benchmarks that these M2s, M3s? And I only say that because I'm sitting here using like an M2 Studio Max, and I got it to replace a Mac Pro that I spent $27,000 on, and it completely obliterates. Completely. It's not even funny. It's embarrassing, you know?
Right.
And I chuckle every time I look at it going, this is so fun to be a consumer because you get to benefit from all this healthy competition. Do you feel the same way being in the business?
I do. I mean, the Apple Silicon is revolutionary. It's changed the game. And it's kind of funny. I talked to some folks at our church, honestly, just a couple of days ago, because they're wondering, hey, the M3 is about to come out or probably going to come out soon. Should we be just stick a generation behind? It's like, the M1 is going to run the circles you need it to run for. Yeah. I mean, there's none of them. I mean, for your graphics, for your video guys, and they do a lot of videography. Yeah, okay. Yeah, the latest, you may stick to the newer stuff, but for everything else, I mean, I don't know when an M1, I mean, M1 is unbelievable compared to just about any Intel processor before it. It's Apple has really leapfrogged, in this particular space in a huge way. You look at the iPhone Pro, the new 15 Pro.
Yeah, no, I know. Recording ProRes video to, external devices. It's absolutely insane. Do you think the competition can catch up?
Do I think they can catch up? Absolutely. How soon they'll catch up? Yeah. That's questionable. Apple is able to reinvent the wheel and eliminate all its flaws for off-paper. They're not beholden to, decades of, legacy architecture like the competition, has had to deal with. So we'll see where the future goes, but Windows is certainly, moved in a way towards ARM. Intel has the R&D, they've got the talent. It's just a matter of the will. Apple is singularly focused. They really built this architecture up over a number of years through their iPhones and their iPad and what they did when they brought that technology to the Mac. I'm really excited and thrilled for it. Because I'll be honest with you, you go back a few years, the big worry was Apple really wasn't caring about the Mac anymore. And, they just wanted everybody to use iPads, a decade after the Mac Pro 2013 came out. The reality is, these are two separate paths with a lot of good crossover and a lot of great interoperability. I mean, what you can do with your iPhone and your iPad and your Mac all together, and the Apple Silicon, the GPU stuff, I hope they open GPUs up. I mean, there's a couple, gaps here and there that, if you're using XYZ workflow or certain codecs where an Intel machine is still the choice, there's certain, loads where, more memory does help, and Apple's got some limitations there. But for the I'd say if you go back 5 years, for 90%, Apple was probably was great. I mean, it was it was equal or better than Windows for most workflows. Today, it's probably closer to 99, over 99%.
Yeah,
and that's it's super impressive, like you said. The benchmark. Got the benchmark, just turning it on and running the machine. It's nuts. It runs cool. No fans. It's super fast. Yeah. And the battery. I mean, I've never gone on chips with my Intel laptop, my Intel Mac laptop, I should clarify, and been able to not plug it in for a day or so. I mean, do hours of work on a plane and then even in a destination and not have to even worry about plugging it in. It's nuts.
It's definitely nuts. Well, Larry, thanks so much for always entertaining us and joining us on the show. Congrats on the recent announcements, and we're going to catch up with you again, I'm sure, before the new year. But thanks so much for always being a great guest.
Hey, a pleasure, Mark. Thanks for having me. I really, really appreciate it.
That is Larry O'Connor, the founder and CEO of OWC, Other World Computing. Always a pleasure to have him on the show and, of course, talk about all the latest innovations coming out from them. If you want to check out more, check out MacSales.com. I've actually got that Thunderblade all set up and ready to go. 32 terabytes of SSD storage. I don't know what I'm going to do with that. I have no idea. Thanks for listening this week. Thank you, of course, on behalf of our guest, Larry O'Connor, and my co-host, Mitchell Whitfield. Thank you for being here each and every single week. Don't forget to like and subscribe on all our social media. It is at Your Tech Report. We'll catch you next week.
You've been tuned in to Your Tech Report. Join us again next week for another edition. And be sure to follow Your Tech Report online. Email us, contact@yourtechreport.com. Follow us on Twitter @YourTechReport. Like us on Facebook.com/YourTechReport. For the latest in breaking tech news and reviews, YourTechReport.com.
Hi, I'm Connie Thiessen, the host of Broadcast Dialogue, the podcast. We focus on Canada and the challenges facing Canadian radio and TV, as well as highlighting those moving the industry forward from podcasting and streaming to new broadcast tech. Check us out at BroadcastDialogue.com or your favorite podcast app.
Hi, I'm Mercedes Nickel, four-time Winter Olympian and host of Dropping In, a podcast with Mercedes. This is a podcast where I interview a bunch of different people. I get the good, the bad, and the ugly, as well as I share my stories along the way. Now you can drop in at droppingin.com or subscribe on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube. I'll see you soon.